a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's time to get the inside scoop on the Utah Jazz.
From the play-by-play voice of the Jazz, David Locke.
Sweet revenge!
Presented by Murdoch Auto Group.
Ow!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. David Locke joining us. Of course, his weekly conversation brought to you by the good folks over at the Murdoch Auto Group. David, good morning.
Hello,
how are you? Or actually,
David.
Good afternoon. Sorry.
You really don't know how I am. I'm about perfect right now. I'm in my van.
Somebody's
the
van
door is open.
Yep.
I finished skiing for the day. Well, I don't know. I thought I was finished skiing for the day, but it was really good and it's really gorgeous. So I'm debating going back out. I came back to the van to do a little work, to hold this conversation. I have a view of the mountains. The door is open. I had country music going hand, so you appreciate that.
Nice.
And I'm just chilling. That's really good.
I love it. So how was this most recent snow you got?
It's all been good. It's just incredible. I was sober this weekend. Snowbird is... For those who are not skiers, the best way I can describe snowboard like flexes on you when you arrive. Like there, it's the most intimidating like opening if you're on the Peruvian fan side. Like it just flexes on you like immediately. It's like talking trash. And the thing about snowboard is it's this expansive, incredible mountain that frankly usually only 75% is accessible. Either the rock lines or the cliffs or whatever else. It's just too much. Like, I'm not straight lining for 50 yards so I can get the next three turns. I just don't got that in me. So right now, it's 100% accessible. I mean, there's just everything's available. And actually, most stuff's fairly easy to get into right now. There's just so much snow. It's just amazing. The only thing I noticed today with the canyon is there's a lot of people in town. I think that we've bragged a little bit too much about our snow depth this year, and I think all of Colorado and all of everywhere else has arrived because there are a lot of people in the mountains there.
How does this compare to other years?
Best ever.
Best ever?
Nice.
Maybe. I haven't got it. Like, I have seriously, I'm no different than my teenage daughter right now. I have, like, serious Instagram envy every day. Like, I have not hit the same way some other people have. Like, I missed yesterday, which was supposedly pretty great. But it's got to be one of the greatest years of all time. I think I said this to you last time. Like, it's, like, you could make really, really bad life decisions based on this year, thinking it could happen again.
So, what you're saying is 10, 9, 10, 11, 12. Having 12 out of the last 14 games going in a stretch of January 10th to February 9th is pretty sweet.
Like, stupid. Like, right. Like, I've actually held this conversation with a bunch of people. Like, the opening of our season was as brutal as anything I've ever experienced in all my years in the NBA. And I mean, I really, like, I actually literally for, like, a week felt sick. Like, it just was so fatigued. And I didn't have to play. I don't know how they did it. And they played well, too, which I really am still flabbergasted by how, like, they didn't put up a single dud in that stretch. And I just thought it was brutal. Now, that might be being 52, and, like, one thing that just kills me is when we do 3:30 in the morning. Like, we were just arriving at 3:30 in the morning everywhere all the time. This has been, without question, the easiest month I've ever had in the history of my career. Like, this is crazy. Because even one of our road games was a 2 o'clock game, and I came home and had dinner at home that night. Like, our game in Minnesota, we're home by 8:30.
Yep.
So, like, I don't know the trade-off. I guess if I was given this as a choice, because I have a very serious ski problem, some people have drugs and alcohol problems, I just have a ski problem. I guess I would take this schedule again because of what you just mentioned, Hans. Like, being home for all but 2 days here has been ridiculous.
If you could have a schedule like this for all 82 games, you'd be doing this job till you were 90 years old, man.
Well, I'm not the one who chooses this. But if they allow me, I will certainly be the one who they have to tap on the shoulder and be like, hey, dude, you suck. It's time to go. Because there's no chance. I love doing this so much. There's no, I can't see that. The only reason I would ever quit the job was so I could see more, and I definitely can do that.
David, when you were calling that game last night, Jazz Dallas, could you sense that this team has a level of frustration or maybe hesitation or anticipation of what's coming up on the trade deadline? Was there something looming with this team?
You know, last night's funky. I mean, I agree with Will. Will's comment that they were disappointed at the lack of focus and the first time he felt that way all year. It's easy to say, well, they're flat. Remember, they were up 12, right? Like, you know, they came out pretty well. And then, I think, like, Will's comment about focus is probably the perfect way to phrase it. They just never made the extra pass. They, like, I've got a contested three, I'll just take it, because that's kind of what we do. You know, instead of like, well, okay, I've got a contested three, so let me drive the hoop and make the next pass, and he makes the next pass, and then we get a better look. Like, there was just none of that last night. We shot really badly from three, but I'm 90, you know me, I'm like a number, I'll hold on the numbers. And usually talk about like make or miss league. This was not a make or miss game. This was just, we took terrible shots. And Dallas got into us, and we didn't fight it. Trade deadline distractions, home too long. I don't know. But I would say that I felt like we have not been the same team the last two games. Like, the team, I didn't think we were particularly good against Atlanta either, frankly. Atlanta's really good, so I attribute a lot of that to Atlanta, but I didn't feel like we were quite right against Atlanta either. So either trade deadline news, honestly, just being home for so long has broken your rhythm a little bit. Like, it's just too easy. And, like, part of the rhythm of this league is it's really hard, and you're, like, fighting through it to be ready all the time. They have not seemed right for the last 48 hours or 72 hours.
David Locke joining us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, so give us your bird's eye view on how you think Kyrie Irving and Dallas. I mean, let's forget about all the weird stuff with Kyrie. Kyrie Irving, the player, with Luka Doncic as a player on this Mavericks team. What do you see?
So let me just first say, because I'm uncomfortable doing that, and I know you are. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. Like, I'm uncomfortable holding conversations about Kyrie Irving and not acknowledging the fact that he had openly anti-Semitic support. It supported Alex Jones, who's a Sam Hooks hire, and another owner in the league traded for him. Okay? Like, I just can't hold a Kyrie Irving conversation without starting. The guy supported a Sandy Hooks hire and had openly blatant anti-Semitic comments that did damage. Like, I just can't start a conversation anywhere. Now, I think the basketball thing's really interesting in a few ways. One, I think it's going to be much harder with Luka than Kyrie. Kyrie's played with the greatest players in the world multiple times in different places, whether it was Durant or Braun or others. So now I play with Luka. When I've watched Dallas, it's clear to me that Luka, every time Luka brings the ball off the floor, he's double teamed and they swing it around. So it's clear that, like, you needed to play Luka off the ball. But I also watched Luka not want to be off the ball at all. I watched Jason Kidd build a really nice play where Luka came off a pin down the nail which is at the free throw line, got the ball, and they also seem to have a spot in the league to double team and let him make a play out of that. And they scored, and then I didn't see them run it for five straight plays late in the game, and I will promise you Jason Kidd wanted to run it again. I will promise you that. There's no chance you ran that play. It was that good, and you decided not to run it five straight times. That was Luka brought the ball up, and then you can't run the play if Luka brings the ball. So I think it's going to be a huge adjustment for Luka. I think they'll, you know, when Luka's off the floor, they're the worst offense in the NBA. So for 14 minutes a night, or maybe a little bit more, 16 minutes a night, this is going to be a big jump for them, which matters. That's 25% of the game, so let's not underestimate. That's going to be a big step forward. Dinwiddie wasn't terrible, but Kyrie's a different level. The next one is they're the number one half-court team in the league. So I actually don't think they're going to get that much better when they have Luka and Kyrie on the floor together. They've already been unbelievable. Like, you don't double-team Luka, he scores 50. If you do double-team Luka, you're giving up wide-open threes to 40% three-point shooters. And the last one, Dorian Finney-Smith was the best isolation defender in the NBA last year. And Donovan can attest to that in the playoffs. And I just think that's a big loss because Luka's so bad defensively, and Kyrie's not very good defensively. So I think Jason Kidd almost admitted last night they're going to have to win games 130 to 126, which, you know, might work fine. They have two of the top 10 offensive players. That usually is a really good equation. They'll be good. And I think it's, here's the thing I think is important. I think it's super important to the Jazz. Like, we talk about, like, we should view everything through the lenses of the Jazz. Anything involving Luka Doncic should be really important because he's 23 years old. We're trying to build a championship team. That's who we're going to have to go through. If Danny and Justin and Ryan Smith are successful in building a championship caliber team, you're going to have to go through Luka. He's 23. If he stays in Dallas, he will always be the one you're trying to get through.
Does it make them a contender?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
They got to run a little bit more than they do. Luka doesn't want to run. And they're the slowest team in the league. Last night they certainly, but those guys look excited not have to give the ball to Luka, you know? Like, you ran, and Luka's the greatest offensive player in the game, just understand me. But boy, did those guys look excited last night. Like, oh, we get a rebound and we get to go? We don't have to turn to find 77? Like, they were jacked last night. And they, you know, we have some problems with that lineup that we're seeing in transition, and right now it's a problem. We're allowing the most transition of any team in the league when we have Kessler, Olynyk, and Markkanen on the floor. Ron Boone pointed that out from the very beginning. Give him some credit. Somehow, guys, I don't know how this works, but, like, you've been in the league for 55 years, and you, like, get asked a question, and you're like, oh, we're really slow, we're having a hard time covering transition, and then that's the worst three-man transition lineup in the NBA. Like, oh, wow, that's funny, Rob. I'm like, you're pretty good at this. I don't think they're a contender. However, let me pull that back for a second. Who is the contender in the West?
That was my thought.
That's exactly the follow-up, yeah.
I've got a couple of thoughts on it. I really don't think Denver's a complete team, but I do wonder if the Clippers can pull it together at any point, if they can get totally healthy, if they can put something together. I also wonder what New Orleans is all about.
So, can we talk Clippers for a second? Because I'm just going to share, like, I'm totally, the two sides of me are completely torn on the Clippers right now. So, I've been a Clipper believer forever. Let me just say, I think Lauren Frank is amazing. What he does is the gentleman that putting the two together. It's nice to have Ballmer's budget also, but he's also just done a great job. Two, I'm doing an exercise this year where I'm trying to watch the final 9 minutes of every close game in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They couldn't look worse. They couldn't look worse. It's isolation on every play. Against Milwaukee, Kawhi and Paul George both airball. Against New York, Paul George puts up such a brick that it actually comes out and kicks out to Batum, who hits a three at the horn to save them, and then they win it overtime. They could not be worse. Guys get the ball, and if they're not in Kawhi Leonard, they, like, look to go get the ball to Kawhi so they can go stay away. I mean, it is so bad. There's no action. There's no ball movement. It's all one-on-one. Their defense is really good because they're long. And then, if you look at their numbers over the last 10 games, they're, I think, 7-3. They have the number one offense in the league. They have, like, the number four defense. And the numbers would tell you they have completely clicked in and ready to go. So I have no idea. If I was in their front office and I'd watched their last three close games, I would make a move because they don't have a ball move around the roster problem.
Interesting. David Locke joining us for his weekly conversation, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by the Murdoch Auto Group. You comfortable with Golden State flipping the switch?
No, not anymore. Not with Steph's injury. I think that just, that, yes, you asked me a week ago, and Golden State was my favorite to win the West. Now I'm not. I don't think he'll be back for more than like the week before the end of the season. And I think the burden on Klay Thompson and Draymond Green while he's out will wear them down. And then I think their route's going to be too hard. I assume they're going to come through the play-in at this point. And, we haven't seen a play-in team win a playoff series, if I'm correct yet. And I think that's actually a bigger deal. In 2 years, we don't have a very big sample size, but I think that's a bigger deal than we think. I think it's that route. That route of playing play-in, maybe even after play two play-ins, to get then into a series where you're on the road again, and then I just don't think you ever I think you're tired just the whole time. I don't think you ever regain kind of your bearings, and so I think that's too difficult.
Did they ever specify what ligaments it was in the leg for Steph?
Yeah, they were actually super specific, and it made no sense to me. But I read whatever his name was, Jeff Stone or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
There's a guy who does really great stuff on that. Injury stuff. And they were super specific with kind of strength, actually.
Okay.
Does LeBron get the record tonight?
So wait, who do you guys think? Like, who are your contenders in the West?
Well, I just felt like if the Clippers make it to the postseason, and if Kawhi and George, if they shift it, and you would think that they would have some of the firepower to do it.
They are playing Terrence Mann as their point guard. Do they need a point guard?
Yeah, that's tough.
Okay, all right. So let's just do this then. Clippers Nuggets 7-game series.
So I've got the Clippers.
Same. Clippers Grizzlies 7-game series.
7-game series. Clippers Nuggets. So I think Jamal Murray's gonna be great after the All Star break. I think the night that we had 40 is really important. I did a bunch of research on ACL recovery, and everyone talks about like how many months until you recover. You know what I found in all my research? So just play.
You cut out.
Like, if you came back for the All Star game, and you got the All Star break, you came back from the All Star game believing your knee was good, and you came back and played well. If you came back after the All Star break, it was the end of the season. Stop it to play. Nothing that I found in my research showed me a certain time period of days from the injury that made you, or days from returning, that made you come back. It was stop it to play. It makes total sense to me psychologically. That you suddenly believed, oh, I got through this. I'm okay. And then you came back to being your normal player. So I think Jamal Murray will be incredible in the final 25, 30 games of the season. I'll take Denver in that series.
All right. Let's go Clippers and Memphis.
This one I might go Clippers. Memphis may have overplayed their hand here. Just on this whole act they're putting on.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks is horrible offensively, and they have to play him a lot to guard Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and he's just death to your team offensively. And the only thing is that Memphis runs at an incredible level, and the Clippers do not want to run. And so they might have a hard time in transition defense on that series.
Sacramento is my guilty pleasure. I love watching them play just because they're fun and they don't play defense. But I would still take the Clippers in a 7-game series there.
Yeah, I like Sacramento too. I think they're super interesting. The late game watch with Sacramento this year is fascinating because they were a terrible start. And Fox on every play, he was a mess. He's not a great time and score player. Then they opened it up and started running Sabonis on handoffs to Herder and Monk. And then they came back to Fox, and usually late he's having this totally insane clutch season that's almost impossible to replicate. And it's because they have this other stuff going on. Love Sabonis. They watched him against Minnesota the other night. Sabonis looked horrendous again because he just can't play Rudy. So what's interesting to me about Sabonis in the playoffs is if he runs into length, he's going to have a real problem. Like, I think Sacramento would lose to Minnesota in a series if they play early. But if the series goes long and everyone starts to – they keep going and everyone starts spreading the game out, I actually think Sabonis can really be a beast on switches and dominate. Like, if he's playing the Clippers and Terrence Mann is switching onto him, I think he could really dominate a playoff series. Now, defensively, he would – they would then be being called out on Paul George and – Kawhi Leonard and have to guard, and that would be really, really hard. So, you know, that probably goes both ways. But I think Sabonis could be a really interesting playoff player against a team switching 1-5 because I think he'll murder him.
How much respect do you have for Ty Lue as a head coach?
A lot. More, you know, honestly, he won me over in the playoff series against us because I remember we were up 2-1 or something. I went to, out with Doris Burke and Mark Jones that night, and I was like, he's done everything. Like, I was like, this guy must know he has control of the team because he's played every card already, and usually can play that many cards, and none of them work. You lose your team in the process. And I was like, he must know he has his team because he's played every card, every, you know, he's played the Queen of Spades, he's played the Jack of Diamonds, he's played everything. And then he somehow actually had more cards to play and turn that whole series around. So he won me over in that series. I don't really have a belief on most of these coaches that they have what they want to do, and then they have what they can do. So I'm sure Ty Lue would love to move the ball and swing it and do a bunch of stuff. Like, that's just not happening with that roster.
Ty Lue is so, one of the things that played into my thought on the Clippers, but. Yeah,
he's a positive, not a negative.
Yeah.
And he's a Cornhusker, so now I'm all in on any Cornhusker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, David, always a pleasure. Enjoy the snow, and we'll catch up again here soon.
Dude, how many lunches do I owe you?
A lot.
I mean, that's two in a row. And, like, I will forever love you, and I'm indebted, and we'll just bring food next time.
Let's plan on that.
How about we come to you? Okay. You stay where you are. We'll come to you.
I can cook. I got a microwave. I got a stove. I got a fridge. I have an espresso maker.
He's got some hot pockets in the freezer. Let's go.
Should we do hands and stay live in the van?
I love it. I think it's perfect.
I've been in that van. It's a nice van. Me and you and Locke are going to eat up a lot of space.
I was not skiing. I was not there. You guys finished the van. I had left.
Okay. All right. I like it.
I'd leave you with the various things you need. Hands would have a hard time. Like, Hands, I need to go, like, when you're in the van, cinnamon gummy bears or red vines?
Cinnamon gummy bears.
Yeah, I agree. I need help. I have a very, very serious problem. I need help. I swear someone's going to do this. It's making me so happy. So, at the bottom of, like, when you come down from Snow Basin, right there, there's a gas station there, and they have the best cinnamon gummy bears. I don't know where they get them. They literally come in a Ziploc bag. They're completely, probably unsanitary. They're so great. Last time I see Snow Basin, I bought 4 bags. I'm out. Somebody's coming back from Snow Basin or going to Snow Basin this weekend. I need you to grab me some of those cinnamon gummy bears from that gas station right there at the bottom of Trapper's Loop because I need those, and I don't know when I'm going to Snow Basin next.
Bless your heart to anybody that does that for Dave.
So, you know, I used to, when I was doing small town radio up in Logan, we'd have this, like, swap and shop show for 10 minutes. And I would get on the air and somebody would be like, hey, I've got 2 tons of two square yards of dirt. And somebody would call in and be like, well, I've got 2 head of cattle. Can I swap the dirt for the cattle?
Oh, awesome.
That's 100% true. It was a swap and shop is what we called it. And so, David, you are looking for cinnamon bears from this gas station. What are you willing to offer for said cinnamon bears?
Well, that's a good question.
Do you have an extra pair of gloves, like a nice neoprene glove? Or
I don't know. I'm willing to offer. I'm trying to figure out what's the equivalent value of, like, a few bags of cinnamon gummy bears?
Well, I mean, it's not monetary value because you value those more than the money.
How about this?
Well, need to know what that person wants.
Well, I think you know what those people want.
Do you have, like, some specialty coffee packets? Like some coffee that's ground in Cuba that nobody else can get?
I would be willing to share my favorite espresso Stella from Portland that I ship in. A large part of our listening audience does not want my espresso beans.
Hey, it could be a one-night stay in the lock van down by the river.
There you go.
We're not doing that.
Let's get that sucker on Airbnb. Let's go.
That's Lloyd's suggestions.
We're not doing that either.
They get to sit in and call with Ron Boone one game.
Yeah, that's worth a lot more than a few bags of cinnamon bears. We'll be, if we're doing that, we're auctioning that off at some charity that actually matters.
How about a, just spitballing here.
Yeah. How about a shout out on the Locked On Jazz podcast?
That is definitely what happened. Probably regardless of whether or not it was agreed to beforehand.
Somebody get my guy some cinnamon bears, man.
Stat, let's go.
I gotta find out where they get their cinnamon bears because they're so good. And they drive out the Trapper's Loop just to get cinnamon bears seems a bit much.
I've got a cinnamon bear habit too, Dave. Pretty bad.
We cannot share this story on the air, the specifics of the story, but let's just say my guy here had his faith in humanity restored once in a big, big way by our listeners. So our listeners are very giving.
Big way.
In a big way. So our listeners will get you taken care of, yeah. David. I don't doubt that
because you have such a massive audience and I've seen your ratings.
So that is true. That's probably true.
Good numbers.
All right. David, you're the best, man. Thanks.
I owe you too. Okay. See ya.
Bye, David.
All right, see ya. That's David Locke, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz.
I love him. My brother.
You know that there's that Costco bag of those chocolate-covered cinnamon bears?
Yeah.
I could tear through that bag like it's nothing.
I have one of those sitting in my sock drawer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the kids don't get in it?
It's like the 3-5 pounder.
Yeah.
It's massive. Yep. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I've got a drawer that's my drawer.
Yeah, you don't get a mom and papa's sock drawer.
Nope. Nope. So that's where my chocolate-covered cinnamon bears sit.
Yeah.
Because I know that that's a private area.
That's where the gummy bears go.
All right. Coming up next, the good, the bad, the ugly. 97.
Oh, that one went down smooth.
The KSL Sports.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He is Coach Tim Lacombe. Ben came up with a theory earlier today, Coach, that the Jazz will win and lose based on Walker Kessler's performance. What do you think about that take?
Totally fair. And it's more than just like him getting rebounds and scoring baskets. Like, there's so much to what he does. You know, the ball screen defense and him getting more proficient with where to be and when to be there. You know, all those things. And then he is an absolute phenom at thwarting shots at the rim when he's great. So I think that's totally fair. I will also add, I think this is a good three-point shooting team, and I think they get great looks. So I'd almost throw that in there too as almost a caveat as well. This team shoots the ball where they're hard to beat, and then you get Walker playing at the level he does around the rim, making things difficult, and then doing a better job of shoring up his ball screen, understanding and defense. Yeah, the sky's the limit for him, no doubt.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans, I just watched the video of the good. That's a very happy young man.
So most people probably don't know Ronnie Rivers. You know him because he was a Fresno State running back. You remember him, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good running back.
Really good running back. He went undrafted and signed with the Rams practice squad back in September of 2022. So just a year ago. So this was his rookie season. He ended up making active roster a few months in. And ended up making about $650,000 on the season. So rookie season, undrafted free agent, $650,000. Guy's doing okay. He's doing all right.
Yeah.
Well, he goes and takes a trip to Las Vegas with his mom. They have the same birthday. So he and his mom go to Las Vegas. They've got a couple of friends. They go to Caesar's Palace. I think, yeah, it was in the Caesar Palace. And they're playing the three-card poker. But it's the three-card poker that's got the progressive. And that progressive just continues to build. And it was up to $514,000 if you hit the royal flush.
Yeah.
So you put a chip on the progressive. They give you a three-card poker hand. You play that. And then they deal you, at the end, they deal you two more cards. And if those two cards are something big, then you get a piece of the progressive. In his hand, he had 10, queen, jack of hearts. Out came ace, king of hearts. He hit the royal flush, and he won $514,000. Great birthday gift, a fun night. It's kind of what we all just sit around and, you know, when you're playing some stupid cards. You know,
odds are one in, what, 650,000, something like that?
That's right. Yep, one in 650,000 that you would hit one of those hands. And he hit it, and he got to take home the whole jackpot. I don't know what taxes is on that. I do know.
I imagine you're losing half of that.
I would think that it is somewhere close to 38 to 45%.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. A high percentage is probably going to stay right where it's at.
Yep. That's all right. You walk away with 300 grand.
Could you imagine?
I'd love to just be like, hey, you know what? I went to Vegas, honey. I came home. She's like, how'd you do? I'm like,
I haven't.
How about that, you know, gut job on this house we keep talking about? Why don't we just go ahead and proceed with that?
Or would you hide it? Be like, well, you know how those weekends go.
Yeah, I'm hiding it.
You know, win some, lose some. What are you going to?
Next thing you know, you're driving a G-Wagon.
She's like,
honey.
Is there a? Did you just back up a boat into the garage?
Is that even a boat? That would be a yacht, wouldn't it? Is that called a yacht?
Oh, man.
Don't you worry about it.
Yeah, don't you worry.
Don't worry. Yeah. That is a fun weekend. I hope that this, nobody takes this like, well, let's go to Vegas, because these things don't happen.
No. Vegas, in fact, everybody thinks about, look, Vegas doesn't want this to happen. Actually, they do want this to happen. And that's why they always put those posters of people, you know, a grandma from, Kearns holding up a sign in Wendover saying, I won $50,000. They want everybody to think you have a chance to do that. They will promote the heck out of you winning, because for every one grandma from Kearns, there's 8,000 people who leave Wendover losing.
Broke.
Yep.
Broke.
Grandma with the goiter.
In that little scooter with the oxygen tank in the back.
I took my Social Security. I turned it into $500,000. Grandma, doggone it, stop risking your stinking monthly rent check.
Oh, man.
Hey. Quit smoking those cigarettes.
Those old people in those little scooters sitting at the one-armed bandits and just like, and what are you doing with your life?
Oxygen in one nose and
a cigarette in the other.
And it's, man, it's really harmful. In fact, if
flame should not be near that oxygen.
If fire catches that oxygen tank the right way, we're all going down.
You're taking me with you.
Yeah, we're all going to hit jackpot here, lady.
I can never figure out why people work the slot machines. And that's the number one revenue.
Like, it is.
As much as we like blackjack and poker and all that stuff, it's the stupid slot machines. It makes no sense to me.
They just generate an insane amount of money. Oh, what a fun night for that guy. The video's crazy, though.
Yeah, it was cool. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
I actually put a headline on this one, Scotty.
Our country is turning into Biff Tannen's America.
Do you remember when Biff Tannen?
Oh, yeah.
He comes and gets his almanac, takes it back, makes some sports bets, ends up building casinos, and completely destroys the country?
Yep.
That's what's happening, man.
50.4 million adults in the United States, roughly 20% of the population, are expected to combine to bet approximately $16 billion on the Super Bowl. According to various surveys, the $16 billion wagered on Sunday's game between the Eagles and the Chiefs is more than double of last year's estimates. The wagering totals include bets made with legal sports books, illegal bookmakers, or just casually among friends.
So it's the full gamut.
Yeah.
They're taking, but 20% of America is going to put money of some sort on it.
We got the prop bets, all that stuff.
50.4 million Americans will bet on this Super Bowl. What has this become?
Awesome.
So here's something unique. This is the first time that a Super Bowl will be held in a stadium that has an in-stadium betting casino or book. So the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, has the BetMGM Sportsbook that is in the actual stadium.
Love it. Love it.
So, but here's the crazy thing. Only people with tickets can actually use it. Well, I guess you're in there anyways.
Yeah.
Security can't, you know, you can't, there's a lot of people that can't use it. But you've got a sports book that's in the stadium that the Super Bowl is being played in. First time in the history of the Super Bowl.
So, by the way, this isn't going to stop anytime soon. There's going to be in-arena betting, and it's going to be, I don't want to say sponsored, but like endorsed by teams. And you're going to see a lot of in-arena betting. And these, you know, these casinos are going to essentially pay these teams millions and millions of dollars to set up shop in their arenas and in their stadiums. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that always have that concern about the Jazz moving somewhere else. Well, and again, I'm not, you know, look, Utah, I get it. We don't like to gamble. It's in our state constitution, all that stuff. I understand all that stuff. But if there's one thing that's the biggest threat to the Jazz not being able to be financially on the same par with everybody else in the NBA is going to become because of this in 5 to 10 years. Because teams around the NBA, as it becomes more legal to gamble in more states, are going to take in tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to their revenue by allowing casinos to be part of their arena. And as teams allow this to happen, there's going to be a financial discrepancy between the teams that can do this and the teams that cannot do this. And the Jazz are going to be one of those teams that absolutely cannot do that. And it's going to be a problem. Like, it will be a problem. Not today, not tomorrow, 5, 10 years from now. And this is just me speculating. I haven't talked to anybody over there or anything like that. You just see the writing on the wall, like the exact story you told. That could happen in Arizona. It could not happen in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I could see it. And it is headed that way. You know it is. What's tough is seeing some people get caught up in these gambling situations. We've seen a player or two get caught up in it and lose seasons. And you've now got NFL teams that are endorsed by MGM and endorsed by these big gambling brands. But it is just going to continue to grow. One other quick thing to hit. So, again, if you're just tuning in, 50.4 million Americans are expected to make a bet one way or the other on the Super Bowl, 20% of the entire population. Right now, the Eagles are a 1.5-point favorite. So if you're looking to bet with friends or if you're looking to play some type of odds, that means that the Eagles will win by 1.5 points. And as of this morning, the Caesars Sportsbook was reporting that 73% of those bets and 74% of the money wagered has been put on the Eagles to cover the spread.
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Kansas City's going to win.
So that's why I'm saying it, because when we talked about this yesterday, you felt like Kansas City's got the better shot here.
Yeah, I think Kansas City's going to win and win fairly easily, actually.
And Caesar's going to give you a point and a half.
Yeah.
So that means that for those out there that don't play the books, if the Kansas City Chiefs lost, but only lost by a point, and you put $100,000 on the Kansas City Chiefs, and they lost, you'd still win.
Yep. There you go.
Because you get a point and a half.
All right, 149, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, there's more reason for you and Lloyd to come to Logan tomorrow.
What do we got?
They're giving away people that come to the game. Yes. Free bacon.
Thank you. What?
Oh, only in Aggieland are we getting free bacon, baby. How much bacon are we talking about?
I don't know. I don't know.
Bacon's running high price right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You give me a pack of that bar S.
How are you keeping that? What are you going to do? How are you keeping it cool?
It's cured.
It's got a lot of preservatives in there.
All right, just making sure.
They probably hand it to you on the way out.
Yeah. Don't get stuck in all the details there, Lloyd.
Hold on. Does it specify?
Hold on. No, I didn't.
Is it fried?
No. I think it's.
Is it a pack of bacon? Are we talking about an old butcher block just rolled up in some white butcher paper?
That's the good stuff
that's
right there.
That's the real good stuff.
So I went to the link and it just took me to the ticket. So I don't know how much bacon.
Free bacon.
I will find out. You know what? I will find out in the break how much bacon is being handed out and I will let you know. But apparently everybody that goes to the Utah State San Diego State game tomorrow is going to get free bacon.
We're going to have some hands-free eating on the way back, too. I'm going to bring a little Brunson burner.
Hey, let's give away some tickets. 801-575-ZONE, 801-575-ZONE, and you will get tickets to see the Jazz in action against the Timberwolves. Rudy Gobert coming back into town. You want those tickets? Come and claim those tickets. 801-575-ZONE. It's Team 49 Tuesday right here on The Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
From CBS Sports, he covers college football. Shihan Jeyaraja joining us on the program.
The nice thing about the Big 12 right now for anybody is that there is not a dominant team, especially when Texas and Oklahoma leave. There is no obvious Goliath to get over the hump. So I do think that makes the path a little bit easier. When you talk about competing year in and year out for the conference, I do think that it often takes about 3 to 5 years before you really find your rhythm, not just because you need to sort of build things up from a recruiting and talent perspective, although that's a big part of it, but also because I think that it takes a minute for a school to really build their identity within a conference. And BYU's in an interesting position because they've been an independent for so long and created a version of themselves that can do a little bit of everything.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. To span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
It is Whole World News right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a great day today.
Oh, man.
Hey, remember the boat show coming up. Make sure to join Unrivaled on Thursday. They'll be at the Boat Show and Water Sports Expo at the Mountain America Expo Center. The best place to find anything related to boating.
Found it. It's a couple of dumb stories today. What do you want to know more about? Lunch lady that stole about $1.5 million in chicken wings, or a woman that beat her husband up with a whole chicken?
So we have a kind of a theme today.
Yeah, huh? This is a chicken theme.
I want to know how somebody, I mean, look, I understand poultry is a little pricey these days, but how do you get $1.5 million worth of chicken wings?
Okay.
Woke up in the morning, put on my new...
Man, this is a good one. If anything, we get to play this.
Yeah.
Serve some reheated Salisbury steak with a little slice of love.
Can we play all this?
Blue, but the chicken pot pie.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything bad in here.
Because I think this is the one they perform live with Chris Farley dancing.
Okay. Yeah.
Lunch lady land.
Why can I say? I see Chris Farley as the lunch lady dancing. That's all I see. So a bond was set at $150,000 for this woman accused of stealing $1.5 million in food, primarily chicken wings. She was working as a consultant for the school district in the South Suburban Cook County, And her name is Vera Lydell. She's 66.
Oh, man.
Began working as the director of food service for Harvey School District back in July of 2020.
Okay.
Between July 2020 and February of 2022, prosecutors said Liddell placed hundreds of unauthorized orders for items, including over 11,000 cases of chicken wings, through the district's main supplier. It's called Gordon Food Service. And they've got video of her pulling up with her car and loading up all these pallets of chicken wings. District stumbled onto this in January 2022. They were only 5 months into their year's worth of budget, budget, and they were $300,000 over.
Oh.
And so they're looking around like, what is going on? So they started to investigate.
What's her name again?
Her name is Vera Lydell.
Vera.
Vera or Vera?
Vera.
Vera, look, it's like when you're on Office Space, you know, you just take a little half a penny over every transaction. You can't do it all at once.
Take one chicken wing here and there.
One chicken wing here and there. You can't get $1.2 million worth of chicken wings. Because you knew she was just turning around and reselling them to some restaurant, right?
That's exactly what. Yeah. She was cooking them up and probably turning a pretty good profit, which no overhead and turning. Because a chicken wing goes for about $1.35, $1.45 a piece now. That's on the low end. There's some places that are selling chicken wings, a cooked chicken wing at $2 a piece.
You, by the way, we need to do our Super Bowl recipes coming up at the end of the week.
Yeah, we do. I did wings 1 year.
Yeah. Yep.
I've got a couple of good ones that I want to share. A couple of really good ones. I did my Hawaiian chicken, didn't I? Last year?
I'm not sure.
With the brown sugar roasted pineapple.
Oh, yep.
On top of the pepper jack.
Yeah.
What do they call that when you hammer out a chicken breast?
Chicken breast, yeah.
Tenderize it out.
Yeah.
That's a really good Super Bowl recipe. It's great because you just throw it on a bun, a little mayo, maybe spicy mayo.
Doing the old burger blend again this weekend.
You're going to hit the burgers this weekend?
Yeah. We got a couple families having a big thing, and they said, what do you want? And they're like, everybody's like, we want the burgers.
So you're going to press out the cheese too?
So I'm going to do the homemade cheese. I'm going to do the grind up the burger mix and all that stuff.
I wish we could get a hold of Vera, get some of her wings.
Yeah, Vera's.
She was charged with felony theft and continuing a financial crimes enterprise. She's being held. She is not being put out on bond. She's being held at Cook County Jail. She's due to appear back in court February 22nd. So she'll be in holding till the 22nd. But you cannot steal $1.5 million worth of chicken wings.
Well, that's food. So much chicken wings.
That's a lot. Food that's supposed to be going to kids, too. What are you doing?
Yeah, it is.
Vera, come on.
Brett Favre thinks that's dirty.
It is. I'll save this guy.
Brett's like, now that's some old-fashioned ingenuity right there.
I'm going to save this story about this guy getting beat about the head and chest with a whole chicken for later.
Did she, like, use it as, like, a boxing glove, like, put it over her?
Apparently, yeah. She kind of swung it. She didn't put it on. No, she didn't put the fist up in there. She held it by, like, the wing and shoulder area. And
swung it around?
And beat the crap out of his head. And I guess the cops knew it because he was just covered in chicken grease.
Was it a hot chicken?
Yeah, pre or post cooked. Yeah,
it was a rotisserie.
That stuff will burn you.
Yeah, it was a rotisserie. She took it right out of the what do you call it, the clam tray?
Yeah.
She just took it right out of the clam tray and beat the tar out of him. And the cop showed up and she's like, I did not. And he's like, look at me, covered in grease. What do you mean you didn't? Got a lump on my head.
He fell down on the chicken. I don't know what to tell you.
In the meantime, the chicken looks like the Bumpus' dog's got a hold of it.
I don't know why you sounded like a Seinfeld episode there. Look at me!
Grab that thing by the chicken leg and just hammer away at some poor guy.
Beat the tar.
Hey, look, if a woman's going to swing a rotisserie chicken at it, it's probably because you deserve it.
Yeah, you did something. What's the weirdest thing your wife has ever hit you with?
Oh, my gosh. So many things.
What are we doing?
What's the worst thing Jessica ever hit you with, Lloyd? I've got a really, really good friend, one of my closest friends. His wife chucked a cell phone at him.
Oh, yeah?
Hit him right in the ear.
Oh, wow.
Caused some damage to his ear.
I would imagine.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad situation.
You heard the story about Greg Ostertag in the Jazz locker room, right? No. Jerry Sloan was just berating the team and just getting after him. And Greg Ostertag, I don't know if he was icing a knee or something like that, but had a bag of ice and stood up and threw it at Jerry.
Bull crap. No, I've never heard this story.
No, this is 100% true story. Hold on.
Ostertag threw it at Jerry?
Yeah, and Jerry.
That's a bad idea,
no,
man.
No. This is even cooler than you think. Jerry just stepped to the side, went right past him, and then continued to keep yelling at him.
Oh, I miss Mom Jerry. I miss you, Jerry. Gosh, we've got to get that stinking statue up. I want it inside. I want it inside those front doors when you walk through that main concourse. And I just want classic Jerry.
I know, right?
And I want it bigger than life. I want an 8 or 9 foot.
Yep.
Scotty G.
Bowler, how are you?
What are you doing, bud?
You're actually on the air right now. So,
I could have just called him on the phone.
No, this is cooler this way, Lloyd. All right, so I just told the Greg Ostertag throwing a bag of ice at Jerry Sloan, and Hans doesn't believe that's a true story.
There's no chance that happened.
That happened.
And Jerry ducked it and just kept going?
Yeah, Jerry ducked it just fine. I can't remember what I can't really repeat the exact words, but yeah, that's kind of a Jerry Sloan. That's one of the great Jerry Sloan stories. Tag was upset, tossed some ice bags off his knees. Jerry, I think, just looked at him and said, "You're quicker than I think." And then, yeah, I love Jerry. You know, nothing really got to him. He just, you know, hey, you got a problem, you know? But he was always one to say, "You got a problem with me? Better come talk." Not through ice, but I think Tag was in one of those mind frames at the time. Yeah.
Hey, Bowler, yeah. Do you think we'll ever go against Jerry's wishes and get that statue up?
Boy, I'd like to see it. I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, say. I think it'd be great if we saw Larry Miller and Jerry together out there.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's that would be, I think, apropos. You got the two greats in Stock and Malone. Larry built the place and brought the and saved the franchise, and Jerry Sloan coached it to a Hall of Fame career. So, those are pretty high resume. But I'm not. That's not above my pay grade. I don't know who would actually make that happen. But it's it'd be fitting, in my opinion, from what I've seen over the years and covered both of those men.
Well, Bowler, I know it's not Friday, but thanks for the impromptu conversation.
Well, you know, I feel like come on, man, is this like those radio calls that they just catch you off guard?
Yeah. This is the appetizer. Really
Like, you know, some hey, Lord, what is the drums and the cymbals, you know? That's what I was doing.
Hey, Bowler, we do want to give you a heads up. Friday, have a Super Bowl recipe. Scotty and I are doing Super Bowl recipes on
your
Friday.
Your favorite Super Bowl appetizer meal/whatever.
I like it. You're going to talk to me from Toronto, by the way, because we head out Thursday to go across the border for a 4-game road trip. So yes, I already have it in mind. I'll let me see. Make sure I pack away the recipe, and I'll share that on one of the great Super Bowl snacks that you can actually snack on through the 9-hour marathon. You know, if you want to start at the early morning hours, you can still make it through to the fourth quarter and post game.
I want to know your gopher on a skewer Heber recipe.
Oh my gosh, those things scare me, man. I told you that story, right?
Oh yeah.
Pulled the skeleton right out of the hole. Like, good grief, what are you dealing with? Yeah, I set those traps, and you know they keep coming. Oh, I'm gonna have to. I'll have to get a backhoe in there and dig them out. I don't know what's going on.
There you go.
Well, Bowler, you're the best, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bowler.
All right. Hey, watch out. Hey, and Scotty can throw ice bags once in a while.
Every now and then.
Yeah, Jerry, hey, I got to give Jerry credit, man. Fast on his feet. But you know what? I have to say that there was a love affair between those two, honestly, in the sense of just wanting to see the guy come along and be a high level, big man in the NBA. Those guys were still pretty tight. And that's one thing I respect about Tag. He was a good guy.
Yeah. He would, he'd be listening and would just call into various radio shows too.
Oh, sure.
That happened to me once.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He'd just say, what are you guys doing? I mean, the old days, he'd come on and, he loved the camera. He loved to talk. He loved people. And that's really Greg Ostertag in a nutshell.
Yeah. Good stuff, Bowler. Hey, man, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Bowler.
Safe travels.
Talk soon. Later.
You got it.
I could see Jerry saying, you're quicker than I thought, and then just going right back to whatever he's yelling about. Oh, that's good.
Or, shocker, you missed that too.
Yeah, shocker.
Hands and Scotty, kick off your 2 o'clock hour next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.